HarperCollins presents The Chill Factor, Suspense and Espionage in Cold War Iceland. By Derek Lambert. Writing as Richard Falkirk. Read by Leighton Pugh. Chapter 1. The Stewardess. At least they warned you. The first club listed for Reykjavik in the guidebook was Alcoholics Anonymous, open daily 6 to 7 p.m., telephone 16373. I didn't recall the need for such an establishment, but I was only 12 when I was last in Iceland. I asked the stewardess the price of a miniature vodka. "Too cheap," she said, discarding cosmetic charm as if her boyfriend were invariably incapacitated by Stolichnaya. That was the second warning. "I'll have one," I said. The smile reappeared, as sincere as a TV advertisement. "Very well, sir." Slight American accent, hair blonde and slithery, body slender in red skirt and blue blouse representing the fire and ice of Iceland. I looked out of the window of the Iceland Air Saga jet, a Boeing 727. Pastures of grey cloud were far below. It never seemed to be proper to inspect clouds from above. It made nature appear vulnerable. I returned to Iceland in a nutshell. On the cover, Hekla was erupting in the snow in a great convoluted brain of smoke. Inside the covers were the desolate grandeurs of the Iceland I remembered. Waterfalls, glaciers, red tongues of lava tasting the cold, clean skies, geysers and towns with green and red roofs like playing cards. Civilization, in the Ice Age, melted a little by the Gulf Stream. I travelled through the pages. Tobacco and alcoholic drinks. Icelanders generally say good health, skål, each time they raise their glasses when drinking alcohol, at the same time looking into one another's eyes. I looked into the eyes of the stewardess and said, "Skål." She smiled back and I detected warmth behind this smile. But it was a different stewardess. "Do you know what it means?" she asked. I shook my head, still warming myself with her smile. "It means skål. It's different from the Scandinavian. In the old days, the Vikings used to cut a skull in half and drink from it." Her tone implied those were the days. "You seem to approve of drinking more than your colleague." "She has had many bad times because of drink."
"And you have had many good times?"
"Always I have the good times, with or without the drinking." She too spoke with a slight American accent, but her V's became W's and vice versa, and some of her S's became shushes. She sat on the arm of the empty gangway seat next to me. There were few passengers on board, and she had time to waste. She pointed at my papers.
"You know much about volcanoes?"
"Quite a bit." I listened to my voice to hear if I could detect its lying quality. I could, and hoped she couldn't.
"They are a hobby of yours, these volcanoes?"
I swallowed the vodka neatly and quickly as the Russians had taught me in Moscow, fire and ice. Perhaps it would oil the lying squeak in my voice.
"It's a little more than a hobby, it's a
part of my job," she said.
"You have come to observe Hekla?"
"That's the general idea." I held up the empty glass. "Could I have another, please?"
"Of course. It is very good vodka, is it not?"
I nodded. "Very, very good. Wonderful, in fact." I put away the papers because I didn't want to tax my knowledge of eruptions. The girl returned and sat down again. She seemed to be a rather unorthodox stewardess by BOAC or Pan Am standards, and the absence of the papers deflected her not one degree.
"You are very lucky that Hekla has erupted again after 23 years, she said.
"Press on with the lies, then. Make this a dress rehearsal. But first, another dose of fire water, the volcano in the glass.
I am going to Iceland at the request of your government. The ash has poisoned cattle and
Sample complete. Ready to continue?